Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. We have a very special guest for this episode to talk about one of the hottest trends in 2024, and that is the idea of investing in cybersecurity. With us today is the portfolio manager from Global X ETFs, Jessica Leung. Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm very excited about this because I myself want to invest in the space, but I don't know much about it. So maybe you can walk us through, first of all, what is cybersecurity and how do you invest in the sector?
Yeah, so I think maybe a good starting point is to just think about that. So cybersecurity and the investment in the space is actually a necessity as well as an opportunity. So why don't I start actually asking you a question back, Michelle? Have you ever been a victim of any, you know, like cybersecurity, or have you been got your identity stolen or anything?
The good news is that I haven't been, but always almost.
Yeah.
So one, I do have a software in my laptop. In fact, I'm one of those paranoid people. I have two phones. So one for my social media postings and one for my private, you know, phone calls or emails.
Yeah.
But I know plenty of people who have been victims of cybersecurity attacks. And certainly amongst our readers, we've had phone calls and emails of people who have been hacked through their Telstra account or through their company, the company that they work for. So I definitely know that this is a real and pressing danger for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, it seems that you're on top of things, so it's always better to be safe than sorry. But yeah, I think the case for it is that we're all pretty familiar with what happened with Optus last year, right? It's one of the largest security breaches in Australian history, and it affected close to 10 million, and that's close to 40% of our whole population. And then shortly after that, you had the Medibank hack as well as the Latitude. So just within the span of the past 14 months, you've had three very high profile cyber attacks. And, you know, even last night when I was prepping for this episode, in the span of 20 minutes, I got three or four spam calls, you know, all from different mobile numbers.
Wow.
And then when you do pick up, it's like someone from the Chinese consulate saying, oh, something in Chinese saying, oh, we need to get your documents, or like you're needed, so please call us back.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think without a doubt that cybercrime is on the rise, and as everything that we do becomes more digitalized with the Internet of Things, individuals, businesses, and governments are now more vulnerable to cyber threats. So according to the latest cyber threat report from the Australian Signals Directorate, or ASD, the number of cybercrime reports have gone up by 23%, and the average cost of them has gone up by 14% as well.
My goodness. So it's like double digit growth. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a statistic out there that a typical small business could lose as much as $46,000 from a cyber attack. So this is serious money. And I don't think small business owners can afford to lose tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. So even thinking about yourself, if you get your identity stolen, just the amount of admin, or how annoying it is to get, you know, your license replaced or your cars replaced and everything, but let alone for a small business and with actual financial implications. So this is definitely a very pressing problem. And even according to the World Economic Forum, cybercrime is actually the fifth most pressing concern for the global economy in 2023. And that's only behind the energy crisis, the cost of living crisis, inflation, and food supply. So it definitely is a very pressing and top of mind issue.
Top five. And the personal invasion as well, like not just the financial cost, which is very important, but it would feel like a thief coming into our house when someone has your passport details, someone has your banking account details, for example. So we know that cybersecurity as a sector is booming. So for an investor, how would you describe the steps to investing in this field?
So one way that investors can start to look into investing in the cybersecurity space is by actually doing research on some of the cybersecurity names within the field. But or you can also access the whole theme via an ETF. And what we have on offer at Global X is a Global X cybersecurity ETF. So that one is ticker BUGG. So what that one does is that it tracks the INDXX cybersecurity index, and it gives you exposure to global pure play companies that derive at least 50% of their revenue from cybersecurity activities. So I know that was a mouthful. But all it is, yeah, that is saying that you are investing in companies which generate the most of their money, or which the main case for business or their value proposition is within the cybersecurity activities. So if you look within our ETF, the biggest names are Gen Digital, Zscaler, and CrowdStrike. Have you heard of those names before?
No, this is the first time.
Yeah, so then probably what comes top of mind when you talk about tech is probably your Amazon, your Microsoft, and your Meta or your Facebook, which they do some cybersecurity, but it's not the main, it's not where they derive most of their value from. Whereas these names is what they do, it's their bread and butter. And when we think about cybersecurity, it's almost a good thing that you've never heard of these names before, because it means they're doing their job well. They're just sitting in the back end, safeguarding your digital assets, you know, your identity and all this precious information, which is what everyone's trying to get into now. So that's a way that you can access it.
So I understand this idea of investing in pure play companies that work in the sector. But let's say one of our listeners want to play devil's advocate and say, is this just a fad that's going to go away? If they're more of a traditional investor, they're probably thinking, well, where are the revenues from? Are the profits going to be steady? Those kind of questions. So how would you respond to those?
Yeah, so how we would think about including cybersecurity in your portfolio is that it's more of a satellite allocation. So within the core satellite portfolio, your core probably makes up of your broader index marking, broader market cap index tracking ETFs or indices. And then you can just allocate a smaller sector of your portfolio to this theme. But I guess back to your question on why would they think, is it a ongoing trend? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that will last for the long term? Like I said at the very beginning, we believe that cybersecurity is a necessity and in thus also an opportunity. So, you know, when the serious, the ramifications of cybersecurity and cyber threats are really real. So for an organization, like we've mentioned, you have financial implications, and then you need to spend more resources to deal with and fix the issues. There are legal ramifications. There's also reputational damage and, most importantly, loss of consumer trust. So going back to the Optus breach, I think they lost almost 10% of its customers. The recent outage also didn't help, but now when you think of Optus, you can't help but to almost put a black mark against their name. So investment has to play catch up and keep up in this space, at which technology and cyber threat is always continually evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, reputational damage is massive. Mm-hmm. And also the disruption to the business, right? So a lot of people couldn't do their banking, couldn't do their transactions, you know, trains couldn't move without the Optus connection. Now, so we've talked about cybersecurity, the kind of investments, and you even have a cybersecurity ETFs. Do you feel like it's going to be an even larger market, not just looking at overseas listed companies in this space, but in Australia, are there local players as well?
For sure. So what, like I mentioned before, is that investment in this space really has to play catch up. And one way we like to think about it is that cybersecurity is a practice, it's not a product. So it's always evolving, and it's something that you need to continuously do. So the worldwide spending on cybersecurity is tipped to be around, I think, $220 billion in 2023. That's already up 12% from 2022, but it's still a long way from where it could be. So we believe that the total addressable market for the whole cybersecurity space could be up to $2 trillion. And that's just in the private sector. And then another big tailwind to this is that you have government spending, which is also a big factor in this space. So in the 23-24 federal budget, they've allocated $200 million to cybersecurity initiatives, and $10 billion was also committed to the ASD for nationwide expansion of cybersecurity initiatives for the coming decade.
There's plenty of zeros there that I can see. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. I think there's plenty of food for thought for our listeners on how to invest in this space.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover if you want us to do a part two in cybersecurity through our dedicated email podcast@moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.